started to say, boy, you need that $20. It suddenly dawned on me, no, I don't care how much he needs that $20. He needs to give me that $20, not only because I need it, because he's my son and a son in the family.
Yes, sir.
You're supposed to have something to give when he knows you need it, and you ain't supposed to have to ask him for it. Mm-hmm. I walked away and just sort of, you know how you feel. Got myself back together. But here's an adopted child who is the most Mitchell up to Mitchell. Says, I think it still ought to be the way and the style of the Bible, which is the style for the most part, with the exception of Paul's letters, some other letters, a folk style. You know what I'm talking about? Let me give you an example. I was a little boy, my daddy used Bible for everything. He was not a pious man. In fact, he was very humorous. His daddy was a preacher, my mother's daddy was a preacher. And my daddy sort of saw a lot of phony religion around, and he couldn't get away from the religion, but he used it for everything. He used to make statements like, look not upon the glass when it is red. And that is, you know, in Proverbs. And he said, for he that is deceived thereby is in no wise wise. Well, I thought that was in the Bible for the longest time, because he said it in the same style. All I'm saying is we want to preserve that style, and we want to keep it biblical. I think of another statement, and I've had a lot of fun with crowds of people on this one. Where in the Bible does it say the race is not to the swift or the strong, but unto him that endureth unto the end? Anybody know? Well, it ain't in the Bible. That's why. Part of it is in the Old Testament, part of it is in the New Testament. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Stan? And black folk, and I expect a lot of other people, have put those two together. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's absolute truth. But it's absolute truth picked from a folk tradition, used in a black folk tradition, and I'm sure the Holy Ghost is using it, and I'm using it as an example simply to say that this is the kind of thing that we want to keep going. I'm not at all interested in all of these meticulous, irrelevant theological technicalities that I hear going on in either or any of the white theological camps. I don't even teach Bart or none of them people. We have Old Testament theology and New Testament theology, and there ain't no more theology.
Are you sure that verse is not in the Bible?
No. See? Not that way. You look it up. You'll find part of it in the Old Testament and part of it in the New Testament. We put it together because it matched.
Look it up.
But that's how the Bible started, by people using things and testing them out and knowing they're true, and the Holy Ghost said that's right. But to put those two in that exact form, see, it always happens. It always happens. But that's what we want. We want to keep doctrinal statements, but they ought to be things that everybody can say anytime and say them in the right kind of a context, and then your kids will be like them kids in Ebi. When I went to Union Theological Seminary in New York City in 1940, going to enter, they had a Bible exam. And all kind of guys that didn't do too well on that exam. And I walked in that exam, and you know, I almost could have been at a picnic and done, had about as much fun. And everybody said, ooh, you study for that exam? No, I grew up in a family where we talked religion all the time. And not because we were long faced, as you can tell, I ain't very long faced. I kid around, I have a lot of fun, and I live an abundant life. But that abundant life was actually helped by all that Bible they had around there all the time. I don't know when I learned that stuff anymore than kids in the streets of Dubai.
shine my shoe and lay something on him, or ask him to lay something on him, he'd get to going. He had it. And I got it. And that's what we want our children to do, and that's what we want our whole church to do. In that form, any human amendments can wait for those that want to be professionals and become experts in that sort of thing. And finally, if we're going to have real black evangelism, it seems to me like we're going to have to involve ourselves in this whole process of knowing what we know so well and being such excellent practitioners of it that folk will want to get into family. In other words, we may go out and find some folk, and I'm not opposed to that if you know what you're doing and you've got influence with these folk and you're ready to treat them like family. But you know what I think? And my experience has proven it every time. If I ever get a good enough family thing going in that church, the news leaks out. And you'll have enough folk walking in there every Sunday that if you're going to do right by them and really get them into the family, you'll be doing about all you can do. And you won't have to test your influence, because the very fact that they walk in that door will tell you you got some influence or they wouldn't be in there. Because they saw you. They saw you when somebody died or somebody was sick. Or a kid saw you in the jail talking to another kid, and he liked what he saw. And he goes, you know, is there any way I can get in this FM? Mm-hmm. And that's my black advancement. Mm-hmm. Has y'all got any questions?
I got one.
Okay.
You drew the picture of evangelism. To what extent does your view of evangelism, in which the family approach is focal, to what extent then does your view of family, well, in what way then do you, how can I say it? Apparently you have a very strong emphasis on the church as a center of evangelism.
Right.
Now, you made some inferences and you threw out some suggestions and you made some statements. In what way do you view then the extra church evangelism? Do you view it as having an integrity, or at least a potential integrity of its own, or do you view it as something that was made necessary by the lack of the kind of church-centered evangelism that you're talking about?
I don't think there is any evangelism other than a family-centered approach. I don't think that you can keep a flower alive
cut off from its roots.
So that if you're going outside one church, if you're going to do it at all well, you're going to have to establish another family, which becomes de facto another church. One very good illustration of this might be Alcoholics Anonymous, where the church has not successfully dealt with alcoholics. And they get together and establish, with a lot of heavy Christian overtones, an AA chapter which becomes its own church. And a lot of these addict halfway houses are the same thing. The church has not somehow been able to deal with these people and to provide them with the kind of unlimited understanding and resources. In fact, I think sometimes I wonder what I would have done if we had tried to adopt one more child with comparable background to our own child. And I hope you won't be spelling this all out in the street, but I just had to tell you this because I think I know what I'm talking about there, because it's something I've been with for 20-odd years. But whoever you are, wherever you are, if you get ready to adopt these folk into the family, you have to have a family. You can't just get them out there with you know, I believe. And this is what's been so much a problem with so many people. You say, you know, they come in and they're gone. And they're gone because there is not the family which nourishes the faith. So if you're going to do it, at all effective. Just understand, you're either going to have a church or you're going to make one. You're going to have a family or you're going to make a family. And I don't know any way where people can just say, I believe, and go off somewhere and survive as Christian. Now, Paul said, be not conformed to the world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And I'm sure that there has to be a countercultural stance. That is, you've got to be different from these people. But you can't be different by yourself. You have to be different in a family. And when you start proving what is a good and acceptable, perfect will of God, there's going to have to be a whole bunch of people in on that experiment with you.
It's interesting. The thing that led to that question was when I was in seminary in the middle 50s, the present organizations, such as Campus Crusade, Press In Fact, Wright was a member of a graduate of Fuller about a year or two before me. InterVarsity had just getting into a groove. And Young Life at that time had nothing like what Burley is involved in today. It was just, Young Life was just an upper middle class white kids thing. In fact, all three of them were more white than anything else.
Oh, sure.
And even then, it was hearing in our classes in evangelism that these were organizations which came, and Youth for Christ also, these were organizations which came into existence primarily to meet a need that the church was not meeting. Mm-hmm. Here they were not talking necessarily about black church, we're talking primarily about the white church. So there's even a recognition there that when the family does not function and does not supply its members with its needs, then it goes elsewhere seeking to find them.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
well, I was wondering how you would view how valid you feel evangelistic efforts of crusades like Billy Graham or Tom Skinner or like that are, you know, how they fit into the model of what you're describing.
I have some serious questions. Billy Graham came to Fresno, California when I was pastor there, and we worked wholeheartedly with the campaign, etc. When it was over, I got 28 cards. Every last one of those cards involved not just an ordinary bench member, but a really active member. Now, somewhere, they went back to their headquarters and, you know, did their numbers game and ego trip about how they greatly enriched my church, when in fact, we had put all that money and time, etc., into what was already our well-established membership. And I'm afraid that that's much more characteristic than most people have said, and there are, of course, some statistics which bear this out in some of the studies that have been published. What I would say about Billy Graham, I would say about almost any other man. Yet I preach revivals every year, but I preach revivals in churches. In another 5 weeks, I'll be in a revival. And my job in that revival would be to try to help those folks expand the family in their community.
Given our right now, a lot of our churches, we don't have that concept of family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe an embryo.
Mm-hmm. We've never lost it completely, but it certainly isn't up there where it ought to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, how would you go about? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's what this is all about. What I would want to do everywhere I go in the country, once I think I've got it, this is the first time I ever did this. So everywhere I go in the country, what I'd probably want to do is, I think I've got all the bugs out of it, is simply to proclaim the fact that the body of Christ, the family of Christ, has to be capable of parenting and brothering and sistering, or it has nothing. And of course, if this were to prevail, let me tell you the sort of thing that could happen. I would want us to go all the way back, so that eventually we'd be back where we were, where everybody in the community is concerned about everybody else. And when a child is going wrong, you don't have to get no police. I mean, you know. Yeah, we're going to deal with that child. We're going to deal with them lovingly. We're going to deal with them firmly. We're going to watch each other's
people and each other's possessions, and we're going to help each other, and we're going to get away from this anonymity, complete strangers in big cities, don't nobody care about nothing. Now, they're talking about it now, block clubs and what have you, but ultimately the thing that really needs to bind all these people is a commitment to Jesus Christ. And my feeling is that if we can ever do this, that almost everything else is real easy.
I guess the point I was trying to make is that extraneous revivals, in the sense that they take place in specific ministries, quasi-church ministries outside, the need for those will diminish to the extent that the family concept becomes as fruitful as it is capable of being.
My suspicion is that we never did need them. If you say that this is something we won't need to do anymore, I want to know, what did you get done while it was going on? And it may very well be that you can say, and this would be a good answer maybe, we got as much done as anybody else did.
Those kind of efforts have always faltered in the black community.
That's true.
It has not
That's
been true. The kind of success. And on campuses, black students just do not go to those kind of, they're not drawn into that kind of thing.
We have a lot of citywide black revivals, though. Caesar Clark and people like that do them. But I think here again that there's much more family involved in that than most people think, because there are whole churches, you know, appearing as churches, gathering as churches. People are brought into churches and immediately put it, there isn't all this big paperwork interface which takes all the family intimacy out of it. Though I would still think that it would be better. Unless, now we have in Los Angeles where three churches traditionally get together and they move around to each other's church. That's real nice. They get, like, for years they used to get Sandy Ray every year. Well, I was really for it, although with what, see, we're all thinking, trying to get this thing together. With what we're doing right now, I wish, you know, if I had been in the pastorate as I was and had all these insights, a lot of things I would have done different. Because I wasn't as critical of it because I didn't know anything better. I think this is better. They went immediately into family.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that. So that from that standpoint, it looks like maybe that was some kind of combination. But then I was also thinking about some of the, and I haven't been to Africa, but what I'm hearing in terms of the response of the gospel in some areas where they are getting large groups. Now, I would take it that they're not necessarily abandoning the concept of the community in coming together like that.
Oh, community's ready made.
It. Yeah, and I think, wouldn't it be extending it? The
community's ready made, but a lot of the things that are happening with evangelism in Africa are happening with the cities where people have broken up the original kinship ties and moved away. And then the gospel is the perfect answer. Because just as we've had storefront churches and other much smaller churches which preserve the intimacy and extended family character of the church, they're doing the same identical thing in there.
They're calling people to, so to speak.
They're calling people to the family. And it's real easy for them because they're real close to the rootage in the first place. So you have a tremendous amount of closeness, what have you, in small family type.
I hear you saying that part of the thing is that we call people to a way of life. Commitment.
Right.
And this may be done in a larger group, but probably is most effective when it's done on a smaller scale where you just live it and people come in that way.
I would say this, that any place, any way that you can call people to a commitment is good if you're prepared immediately to break. break that thing down into very specific, yeah. very concrete.
That's what is not true in most
yeah.
of
yeah. yeah.
that, most of these things are not. They're looking for the people that walk through that turnstile, and what happens to them after it, it's very difficult for them to have anything to do with it, even if they did care.
And the kind of follow-up is not geared. It's a discrete, atomistic kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not cumulative.
My guess is that there's a kind of mentality that may sort of somehow be pushed off center and into some kind of activity with the impact of a mass group. And let's not knock it. But if you're going to do that, then you better be prepared right away to absorb them into a small and intimate family, or you're going to have a worse thing than you had before, because it'll be like that fella that swept the house out and got the one demon out and left it empty. And then it's much harder. It's like giving somebody a part of a course of penicillin and not finishing it up. And then the next time you come with penicillin, it'll do no good at all. So I think you're playing with fire when you get large numbers. And this I've had to face very seriously with some very, very effective commitment services in camps. I've had 110 black high school young people, and there wasn't a one of them there that wasn't just ready to do anything. And then I had to ask myself, now I've got them all the way up here, and good Lord forgive me, I know what they're going back to. It's a terrible thing. So really what I'm saying is that you ought not to be out there beating the bushes, finding these people if you ain't ready to do a whole bunch of things that most of us haven't been doing.
You're also, so I think, to some degree, in my own mind, validating maybe something that the black preacher, the black church was doing in the South.
Oh, yeah.
When he was saying, come join the church.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
he hadn't spelled it out.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I'm trying to do, mm-hmm. spell it out now.
Come be a part of the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That may be one of the reasons why I think that the group that does this perhaps better, in my opinion anyway, than any other group, in terms of statistics, could be the Baptist Church, which still is the church of the black masses. In terms of statistics, membership, nobody's in a remote league with Baptists, black Baptists.
Yeah, but you watch those Pentecostals, those babies are coming up fast.
I know, yeah, I know we're coming too. But, you know, the thing, you know, that's the thing I'm saying. It has to be, that concept of the family has to be there. You know,
that there was no adequate awareness
what they were doing.
Of just how much you're taking on. Mm-hmm. Now, the only time I remember thinking at all seriously about it has been when I was in the pastorate. Time after time, I used to almost scare people to death when I did a dedication. And I'd say to them, now the Lord has sent this child here. Are you folks ready? And we would have all these vows that the whole membership would take, not just the parents. You know, not just the parents and the godparents, but the whole church. And I've had people look at me and say, man, you scared me to death with that. That's just where it ought to be. But even in my own ministry, that's the only time I remember being anywhere near adequately aware of what it means to be a part of the family of God.
Mr. Dean, while you're listening,
I'm
wondering if you listen to my very limited experience.
Mm-hmm.
Thing probably is missing is this commitment to discipleship under the leadership of the church. Because
know, and it's respectable.
The idea that these people I'm joining now have a right to help me change my life into what Christ wants it to be.
Yeah. And I also have a right and an obligation to be on call for them. Yeah. Well, it's slowly been dying out. That's what it boils down to. And one of the reasons it died out at one point was that earlier on, we had taken on entirely too many abstractions and rigidities, and the family was so restrictive. For instance, you go to Africa and you see people dancing to the glory of God, and I can very well see some of these young people seeing a woman with a baby on her back bringing her offering to the altar, and she's doing something that you would probably call funky chicken, I bet you. But this is her way of praising God with every bone and muscle and nerve in her body.
David did it.
Of course.
We can accept this.
Yeah.
But when we do it, when it's done today.
Well, now, here's the sort of thing that happened, so that we got a lot of people who said, look, the family will choke you to death. And we began to lose it. And because this family thing was so heavily associated with serious religion, it lost some ground. But I don't know why we couldn't wake up and come home.
Wasn't that the kind of thing like